Hello, this is Marc Imbert speaking, chief editor of the European Respiratory Journal. In the February 2016 issue of the ERJ, we will publish two important editorials and perspectives on chronic airway diseases. The editorial by ERJ former chief editor Peter Sterk from the University of Amsterdam is entitled Chronic Diseases Like Asthma and COPD, Do They Exist? This provocative title has been inspired by a perspective on treatable traits toward precision medicine of chronic airways disease by a group of international respiratory experts led by Professor Alvar Agusti from the Thorax Institute at the University of Barcelona in Spain. I'm delighted to discuss these manuscripts with Professor Agusti today. Hello, Alvar. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Mark. My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Thank you again. So, why does your group focus on treatable traits in chronic airways disease? What is the need?
Well, the need likely originates from the, I would say, now well-accepted complexity of airway diseases. So both asthma, COPD, and what we now call ACOS, which is something in between asthma and COPD, are complex and heterogeneous. Complex means that all of them had a number, more than one, elements and components that can be present or not in a given patient at a given point in time. So all of us know that the extreme cases of asthma and COPD are easy to recognize. So for instance, in the case of asthma, a young patient with family history of allergies, with normal lung function in between episodes of crisis, never a smoker, it's easy to diagnose of asthma. And on the other hand, all individual heavy smoker for life with a clear emphysema on the chest x-ray and non-reversible airflow limitation is easy to be diagnosed of COPD. But the problem is that the majority of patients lie in between. So we have smoking asthmatics, COPD with hyperreactivity, in some cases with evidence of allergy. Now that we have more access to CT, we find individuals with emphysema on the CT, but normal spirometry. So all in all, we now recognize that airway disease form a continuum of diseases where it is very difficult to establish a strict and, let's say, impermeable diagnostic criteria because these diseases are complex. So this is the origin of the concept, because the important issue is not what diagnostic label we use to diagnose a given patient, but instead what are the therapeutic alternatives that can be useful in a given patient. A first attempt to address the complexity of airway disease was and has been over the past 5 to 10 years the idea of phenotypes. So phenotypes is a concept that tried to identify groups of patients with similar characteristics that require a given treatment. For instance, in the COPD field, the presence of emphysema may be a phenotype, or the presence of frequent exacerbations might be another phenotype. The problem is that this concept, which is likely correct for research, because in research we study groups of patients, might not be applicable to clinical practice, because in clinical practice, we treat one patient at a time, not a group of patients. And the presence of, let's say, one phenotype in a given individual patient does not exclude the presence of other phenotype which might deserve specific treatment. So, in essence, the complexity of the disease is what gives rise to this discussion and the realization that we need to somehow move towards a much more precise approach to individual patients, not to groups of patients with similar characteristics, I would say is what really underlies the concept of treatable traits.
Thank you, Alvar. It's, I think, very timely, and I think the whole respiratory community is expecting something important from your current research. So we discussed treatable traits or treatable aspects of chronic airways disease, and what are they exactly?
Well, following from what I just said, they are numerous. There are numerous treatable traits. In our paper, we just propose a list of them, which will, in some cases, require experimental validation in terms of therapeutic efficacy and safety. But we kind of organize them into three major categories. We identify a list of potential pulmonary treatable traits. And this includes, of course, airflow limitation, airway inflammation, particularly in relation to the presence of eosinophils, which seem to be a marker of good steroid response, cough and emphysema, and other potentially traits or aspects, as you said, that are mainly in the pulmonary domain. Then we also realize that patients with chronic airway diseases can have extra pulmonary treatable traits. Admittedly, they are not pulmonary traits, but we know that they are frequent, they are treatable, and that by treating them, you can improve significantly the prognosis of the patient and the health status of the individual. And this includes well-known comorbidities such as heart failure, gastroesophageal reflux, depression, and others. And then we also propose that a number of lifestyle factors and environmental factors and even social factors are also important to consider. Again, admittedly, these are likely not related to the biology of the disease. So some people might say that these are not traits of the disease, and they are likely right. But they are aspects that clearly impact on the outcome of the disease. And this includes, obviously, smoking, but also exposure to other pollutants at home or in the work environment, or aspects such as adherence to treatment or adequateness of the inhalation maneuver, or even whether the patient lives alone or not, because we know that these have an impact on the outcome of the disease, and more importantly, they are treatable. So what we are here proposing is a paradigm change, I guess. So we identify what are the problems of the specific and individual patient that we have in front of us in our office, and then take specific action on each of the specific treatable traits that patient might present. And very importantly, they can coexist. So the presence of one does not exclude the presence of other treatable traits. I would say that this is the core of the proposal. Of course, this is a proposal. This needs to be properly validated in appropriately designed clinical trials.
Yes, this point is well taken, but how have these treatable traits been identified?
So far is mostly expert opinion. Of course, this opinion is not coming out of the blue. It comes from already from studies that have been already published. Let me take a couple of very obvious examples. One is airflow limitation. Well, we know that airflow limitation is a common trait in many airway diseases, and that we have, thanks God, a number of very active bronchodilators that can be combined. So this is, I would say, very well established. And if the patient has airflow limitation, then the recommendation is that you use the most appropriate bronchodilator treatment. That's one example. The other example is, let's say, eosinophilic inflammation of the airways. Not all patients, neither with COPD or with asthma, necessarily have eosinophils in their airways. However, there is evidence now that those with eosinophils in the airways or the blood, which might likely be a good surrogate biomarker of eosinophilic airway inflammation, are likely to respond very well to treatment with inhaled steroids. And most importantly, in those patients without evidence of eosinophilic airway inflammation, treatment with inhaled steroids is likely to be absolutely non-effective. So that's another example of how, by appropriately using biomarkers, treatment can be personalized and can be made much more precise.
Thank you. So, Alvar, what are the next steps now?
Well, I guess that the next step is a wide and open discussion in the scientific community. That's the main purpose of our paper, is to generate that debate. And second, to design appropriate studies that can compare if a strategy, therapeutic strategy based on this concept of treatable traits, is able to produce better outcome at a lower cost, probably in a safer way than the more one size fit all approach, which is currently what we are doing in most cases. So for this new stage, I think that the cooperation and collaboration between the academy, the ERS, would be a great leader in this field, and probably the pharma industry establishing some sort of a consortium that tries to test the hypothesis that a much more precise approach to airway diseases in general, not necessarily those old labels of asthma and COPD, or more recent of ACOS, have better outcomes from the patients that we have to care.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Alvar, for leading this group on an exciting and clinically relevant concept. This was Marc Imbert, chief editor of the European Respiratory Journal, discussing with Professor Alvar Agusti from the University of Barcelona, Spain. Thank you, Alvar.
Thank you for the invitation.